Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Glad to be here. Still, I'm a little nasally still, but I'm here. So today I wanted to expand a little bit on what I talked about the last time I gave a talk, which was I gave a talk on joy and the importance of joy in our lives as a counterbalance to all the negativity that we encounter in our lives. So I wanted to expand that to include all the seven factors of awakening to show how we can counteract the five hindrances or the five veiling factors. Now, just to remind everybody, the seven factors of awakening include mindfulness, investigation, energy, joy, contentment, concentration, and equanimity. These factors lead us to awakening, to enlightenment, to liberation. The veiling factors or the hindrances are sensual craving. Now we say sensual craving. Sensual in Buddhism means external, like we're looking for things outside of ourselves. Okay, so sensual craving, ill will, restlessness and worry, the three D's, dullness, drowsiness, and disassociation, and skeptical doubt. So this talk, in a way, is an unintentional follow-up to the week and long Sesshin, which was focusing on living by vow, which means to be at one with all things. So the seven factors of awakening lead us to be at one with all things. When we say the Gate of Atonement, we attend to get back to at one mint by repenting greed, hatred, and ignorance. You know, and these are the three poisons. In order for us to transform these three poisons, we need the seven factors of awakening. And we transform the three poisons into the three virtues of wisdom, compassion, and enlightenment. So you see there's a balance right there, right within the Gate of Atonement. Let's get back to being balanced, you know. So the whole idea is to be at one. The whole idea is to be whole. I really like this word whole, and I use it a lot in this talk, I think. And if I stick to the script, I will, but if I don't, I might not. But I want to emphasize this. When we only live in what we perceive to be the ordinary day life self and not anything else, we're living half a life, you know. We need to integrate that the empty side of ourselves, as I mentioned over the weekend, you know, that we are more than who we think we are. So if we remain in this idea, this fixed idea of who we think we are, we can't grow into oneness because it's too small. And it's very one-sided and it's not very balanced. So to be whole, we need both. We need, and we exist from both. We are both, but we don't realize it. So in Buddhism, it's said that in our stored consciousness or our subconsciousness, everything is stored, all our memories, all our patterns of conditioning, all of our feelings, anger, hatred, joy, compassion, and how we learned to work with them or experience them in our lives. So all of that is within us. So all of the awakening factors are within us, mindfulness, investigation, energy, they're all there. We just need to tap them, you know? And then basically what we're doing is we're making a choice. Which of the factors are we going to cultivate? Are we going to cultivate the factors of awakening that lead us to freedom? Or are we going to continue in our old pattern conditioning and stick with the veiling factors, which is just leads us to more despair and distress? Does that make sense to what you said? Okay. So we're going to take a look at the veiling factors and how to counteract them. So the veiling factors are called veiling factors because they cloud or veil our vision. We don't see clearly. when we are stuck in them. So the whole purpose of this talk is to get to know them, you know, to experience them. You have to be aware of when they're coming up. Because if you're not aware of when they're coming up, you just live out of them. So we have to build a mindfulness and an awareness of when they come up so we can recognize them, accept them, and then use them to liberate ourselves. Use them to liberate ourselves. We use everything in Buddhism to liberate ourselves, no matter what we come up to. You know, how whatever life gives us, it's like, okay, how can I liberate myself from this horrible thing? And liberation, of course, brings us wholeness and joy, you know, not just for ourselves, but everyone around us. When we're joyful, we make other people around us joyful too. So when the veiling factors wane, and they will, if you work with them, if you do this, you know, if you see them and work with them, they start to get softer, you know. And the Buddha said this, and I think this is so great because this is how I feel this. The Buddha said, it's like healing from an illness, arriving at the end of a difficult journey, finding yourself released from prison or having paid off a debt. Ah, God, freedom. Even if it's just for a minute, even if it's just for a second, you say, oh, man, for a moment there, I felt like I was enough, you know? So we're going to start with sensual craving, because I don't know why this they're all in the same order. But so craving is based on a sense of lack, what we don't have and what we want. And our focus is external. We don't see the inner potential that we have for joy. In this state, we may blame ourselves or other people. We may take on the victim role. And when working on this, I remembered a great line from a Sheryl Crow song called Soaking Up the Sun. And the line goes, she's talking about somebody who doesn't have diddly squat. And she says, it's not having what you want, it's wanting what you've got. Isn't that great? It's not wanting. It's not having what you want, it's wanting what you've got. So life is not about having what you want. This is an illusion. It's a fantasy. It doesn't exist. Oh, if I only had this or that, I would be happy. The worst thing about craving is that it prevents us from seeing the wholeness of who we are. And it reinforces all of that negativity, attentional bias that we live by. What's wrong with our lives? You know, it keeps feeding that. Now, if you think about this, you know, we just chanted this. If this life is as real as a dream, okay, and now we're adding another dream, on what we want, on top of this dream, we're transforming this life into a nightmare, right? That's what we're doing. And why do we do this? We have the capacity and we have the privilege of being a human being. We can transform our lives for the better. We could live more mindfully, more joyfully, more skillfully, but we don't. And I think a lot of it is that we don't realize that we have a choice. We think we have to think the way we think, you know? Buddhism asks us to let go of all the ideas about life, what you think you should have, what you shouldn't have, etc. It asks us to just be life, to just live it. As it comes, ever changing, no matter what's happening, we have the power to transform it positively or negatively. It's really up to us. That's what I love about Buddhism. You have a choice. You know, you can spend your whole day making choices. Wanting the reality that we're actually living means that we not only accept it, but we appreciate it. We make the best of it. And as Sandy said so poignantly at Sesshin, there's just this. That's it. The seed of happiness is already in us, and we don't need to go anywhere else to get it. So now we ask the question, What is it that we need in this moment to counteract or transform this craving? What do we need? Well, first we need to be aware of it in the body. And then we have to shift our focus from the external to the internal. That joy that's waiting for us to tap it. We can ask, what is there in my life that I could be joyful about? What is there in my life that I could be grateful for? What's there in my life that I can appreciate? And then we sow the seeds of gratitude, appreciation, joy, contentment, and of course, mindfulness, because you know, without mindfulness, you're not aware of what you're feeling. Ill will is another one of the veiling factors, and it's based on fear and protection. Now, look at these are not, I did not look these up. These are not really discussed all that much in this course that I took. These are just my thoughts about it. They're not 100% complete, and I'm sure I'm missing things and all that stuff. But anyway, you get the gist of what I'm talking about. It's pretty normal to feel fear and anger, or hatred. I guess I was talking about hatred and anger. But these feelings don't stay unless we feed them. You know, and sometimes we like to feed them because they make us feel strong and powerful. You know, there's nothing like anger to make you feel powerful, you know. And how do we feed them? We feed them with the stories. What happened? Who's to blame? I'm not to blame. He is. You know, and we keep them going. We keep inflaming them. So we become then more adversarial and separated. Then it becomes you against me. Like all of these veiling factors embody the separate self, this idea of the separate self. The awakening factors embody oneness. So we see the world through the lens of anger or hatred, and we perpetuate these feelings by seeking revenge. Even if it's just in our mind, we go through this drive, how am I going to get back with this person? You know? And it's pretty clear that when these emotions are in the foreground, joy and freedom are nowhere to be found. You know, we're stuck in getting rid of, in annihilating, in avoiding, you know. So what is it that we need in this moment to counteract and transform anger and hatred? Again, we need to be aware of the suffering in the body and stop feeding it with our stories. As soon as you stop feeding it, the emotions go down. We investigate the feelings and realize that the protection that we think they provide is only a delusion, a prison of loneliness and despair. I'm sure you can all relate to that. You know, when you're angry, man, you're alone. In the long run, it causes us and those around us more harm than good. We see how corrosive it is, and I love that word, it just eats at you. And then we let it go. We see what it's doing to ourselves. We calm the seeds of anger and hatred. And even if we just do that with our breathing, let go of the stories and we just calm ourselves. We sow the seeds of mindfulness, investigation. What's this about? What's going on here? Energy. You know, we calm the energy of anger and hatred. And then when we can see clearly, we're sowing the seeds of wisdom and compassion. Wisdom is seeing clearly. Compassion is offering kindness based on the wisdom that you've now discovered. So the next veiling factor is restlessness and worry. I know a lot about this one. Restlessness and worry are based on fear. It's running away from the life that we have, literally. You spend your life running around. Running around, keeping yourself busy, always have an agenda, always have a plan, you know, like, am I using my time to the best advantage right now? What should I be doing now? I don't have anything to do. I have to fill it up with something, you know, and what if X happens and how am I going to deal with X? You know, we're always kind of leaning into the future, you know, always trying to protect what's coming next, you know. So there's no freedom. There's no freedom to just be, and there's no joy. But there's this like very strong obligation to keep moving forward, you know? And it sucks the joy out of life completely. I really know this well. Does anybody else know this well? All right, I'm glad I'm not the only one. And the thing is, we're afraid to stop. You know, because I say to myself, just stop. But we're afraid to stop because we don't want to feel or see the things that we don't want to feel or see. So we just keep filling it up, you know, with other busyness. So we're never present. We're always in the future. And basically, the way I see this is that we're creating too much energy without letting it go. We just keep generating energy, you know? So what do we need? What do we need to balance this out now? So we need to see it, you know, and we need to slow down. Of course we need to slow down. But, you know, sometimes you just have to feel the way you're living your life, you know. And I've seen this happen with beginning instruction sometimes, you know, with meditators. When they first start to meditate, like the first time they meditate, they feel a sense of sorrow or they almost get tearful. And, you know, it's just... you're feeling your life is just like this machine as opposed to just a living human being. You know, there's so much regret in that. So we feel how we're feeling and we feel how we're living our lives and we breathe deeply and we release the pent-up energy and we cry if we need to. So we sow the seeds of mindfulness, trust, relaxation, joy, and contentment. You know, just stopping, you're sowing the seed of trust. Just making the stop. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It's just, okay, I'm just going to be here right now and see what comes up. That's trust. Dullness and drowsiness and disassociation. I don't know too much about this one because I live in the other world of restlessness and worry. But this factor is similar to restlessness and worry. It's based on fear and avoidance. At least the way I see it. And it's just the opposite of restlessness and worry. It's the same thing, no, just the opposite. It's characterized by low mood and depression, so not enough energy. Not enough energy. It's just another form of running away, only this time we check out. You know, maybe we fall asleep if we're in meditation, or maybe we just watch TV for hours. I don't know. We want some excitement. Better yet, we want drama. You know, we want to be externally involved somehow because we don't want to be present to where we are in the moment. So it's similar to craving in that we don't see the internal potential that we have. So how do we neutralize this disassociation? What do we need to neutralize it? We need to notice it, and we need energy. We need to energize it. We need to pay very detailed attention to what's happening in the moment. You know, if you do that, you sow the seeds of mindfulness, investigation. What's happening here? What is this feeling that I just have right now? Energy, curiosity, enthusiasm, concentration, and joy just by being present, just by being with it, you know? The last one is doubt. And this last veiling factor is based on a lack of trust. This one is more insidious and it lies beneath all the others. So does craving actually, but it focuses on what's wrong and what's impossible. You know, fixed ideas, what's wrong, what's impossible. You know, I always create problems for myself. I never do anything right, I'm hopeless. This really reinforces the delusion of a separate self more potently than the other factors because we're unaware of the performance self we've created to hide the deficient self that we don't want anybody to see, which really is just a delusion that we are deficient, but we live under that delusion. So then doubt is about fixing the deficient self and hiding behind the mask of the performance self. This is how I experience this. The self that we think we're presenting to the world, although the world may see us differently. It's about overachieving, putting pressure on ourselves to prove ourselves, not just to other people, but mostly to the big critic inside, ourselves. Or we could be underachievers and just hide by just getting by. We're so busy creating this persona that we don't see our true nature. We don't see that we already have what we seek, or have the capacity even to awaken and liberate ourselves from this devastating doubt. So we miss opportunities, joy, and freedom. What is it that we need in this moment? We investigate how it feels to live in doubt. That's tough. That's tough. It's hard to face doubt. But when we do, we sow the seeds of mindfulness. Again, investigation. Let's look at this. Am I truly the person that I think I am? Does Buddhism have a point here? Is there more to me than I think? Trust. Just being with yourself. Wisdom, compassion, equanimity, and joy. Follow. Equanimity, because now you're starting to see more of who you are, not just the negative side of yourself. Now, the veiling factors, you know, intermingle. You know, if you put craving with ill will, you've got jealousy and envy, you know. And craving is really all in all of these, you know, running away from your life or being dull, or it's all about wanting something. And of course, doubt is in all of them. The most important strategy in working with the veiling factors is to be aware that they're there, like I said before. To have a felt sense of them. You really have to go into your body to really get to know them, because then you will recognize them when you're having a debate with somebody at work, and you'll feel it in your body, and then it might give you pause to then make your statement more palatable to the other person, you know? And we always ask, what is it that we need in that moment to counteract and transform them? What do I need right now? You know, I think that is a very important question. I didn't think of it in terms of that until I started to do this. I kept thinking of it in terms of getting unstuck. But unstuck is very impersonal. If you ask, what is it that I need right now? Now, that is personal. There's compassion built into that question, where getting unstuck has more of the intellect involved, you know. So asking what we need. And we need to tap into the non-sensual joy that's always there. That's the joy that where we can abide in anything that's happening, no matter what. And if we don't feed the veiling factors, they become fertile ground to cultivate the awakening factors, as I said in the beginning. Mindfulness, investigation, energy, joy, contentment, concentration, equanimity, and that's why we practice, isn't it? Equanimity, to be even-minded, so that we can live a life of freedom, no longer tossed around by the patterns of our conditioning that we grew up with. Accepting life as it comes brings joy, which is no frivolous thing. So the seven factors of awakening balance our negativity. They give us energy to continue our pursuit, which is lifelong, and they make us whole. So coming back to the Gatha of Atonement, I see doubt in the sense of not knowing who we are. To me, that's doubt, not knowing who we are, that we are the one. To me, doubt is at the heart of all of our suffering, not knowing who we are. That we are the one. This is delusion, or as the Gatha of Atonement says, ignorance. Right? That's what we use the word ignorance in the Gatha of Atonement. Well, if that's so, then naturally craving is going to come, because we're not going to be satisfied with this separated, limited self. We're going to want more. Right? And that's greed in the God of Atonement. And now we get angry because we don't have what we want. Or angry that other people have what we want. This is ill will. This is anger and hatred, which can show up as restlessness and dullness. So now we have anger, which is the word that we use in the God of Atonement. Some people use the word hatred. So when we're stuck in the five failing factors, we're stuck in the three poisons of greed, hatred, and ignorance. We do use hatred, not anger. Some people use anger. So in order to transform the three poisons, again, to the three virtues, we need the seven factors of awakening. Skillful means. So it's not easy to do, right? It's not easy to do. That's why we say the Gata Atonement every time we meditate, right? We say it every day. Say it at home when you're not in the Zendo. Or every time we realize that we're in a veiling factor, I'm craving right now, or I'm angry right now, or I'm restless right now, and we come back to the present moment, you know, then we regain that one-ment, you know, even if it's just for a second or two. But that's what we do. That's our whole life. This is Zen. We start again and again, seeking to release the patterns of greed, hatred, and ignorance that bind us so that we can live freely as the one. So the Buddha said, and I'm going to end with this. This is a long talk. This noble life we live does not have gain, honor, or renown for its benefit or its goal. It does not have the attainment of virtue, concentration, or knowledge as its goal. But it is this unshakable liberation of the heart that is the goal of this noble life, its heartwood and its end. Thank you.